Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello again, friends. Coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show radiating from the beehive of creativity, civic engagement, and cultural awareness known formally as the Voice of Vachon, Jean Bosch Broadcast Studio, in the bustling and bodacious heart of our pastoral and quite wet this morning island community. That was the voice of our late founder, Brian Brown. Together, we the Brieflys strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Our Briefly panel today includes all of our regulars, instrument panel magician, Vachon Airport Commissioner, partially reformed Texan, and the longest serving individual in the world. No, serving, the longest serving Briefly, Truman O'Brien. How you doing, Truman?
I'm doing good. Thanks all for welcoming me.
You're always welcome. Historian, professor, mariner, and guardian of the galaxy, our second longest serving Briefly, Bruce Holman.
Hey, good to be here.
Part-time Politico, affordable housing advocate, Vachon Island Fire and Rescue Commissioner, and full-time She-Nanigans Coordinator, Amy Dreher.
Hey, good morning. And I renewed my oath of office just last night.
Don't worry.
Yeah, Truman, do you do an oath of office?
You know what? This year I wrote a pledge for us to take.
Really?
And we did that in December. Yeah,
oh, okay.
with our brand new commissioner.
Do you vow to protect the Constitution of the United States of America?
Yeah, for foreign and domestic.
That's right.
We got it.
We're sworn.
It's all in there.
We're sworn.
You swore? You took an oath to be a good shenanigans
Absolutely.
Coordinator again?
Yeah, the laws of United States and Washington and all
That's
of
right.
them.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's
uphold good. And defend and correct.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Fix as required.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the voice of mariner, backpacker, climber, cyclist, rower, and good troublemaker, Kevin Jones.
Hey, good to be here. And speaking of the dampish, I had to navigate multiple lakes on the way here on foot. But the good news is I found a dry path.
That's no mean trick
you
this
walked,
morning.
You walked all the way
No,
here?
No. I mean from where I parked the car. It's like from Island Queen to here, there's like a massive lake.
There
so
is.
You have to be, you know,
there
aware.
Is. Well, you should have brought your your shell.
My rowing shell.
Yeah, you could have rowed across.
That's right. That or my rubber, my galoshes or my hip waders. Either one would do.
That's it.
And I am Craig Bellis, former assistant attorney general, constitutional law professor, tow truck driver, and women's high fashion shoe salesman. Our small talk guest today, it is my honor and pleasure to welcome nonprofit leader, tech-savvy communications manager, longtime Vachon resident, mother of five, and musician, among many other notable attributes, Amanda Kelly. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Good morning, Vachon.
All right. Great to have you here. We're all anxious to talk to you about your new role as the general manager of Voice of Vachon. But before we cover all those topics, let's do our usual lighthearted but passionately serious check-in with the Brieflys and our guests about how things are going and what they did during the past week. Kevin, let's start with you.
Well, I had a interesting, when I got back from rowing on a Saturday, I believe it was, my phone had kind of blown up with a few messages about our country's intransigence into South America.
Oh.
Yes. And so I ended up spending some little bit of time there at the four-way stop protesting what looks like a war that our administration has started in Venezuela. And there with about 60 or 70 good friends, we helped raise awareness. But I would say that as a public service announcement, if you want to hear more about what we're doing in that regard, our next membership meeting, Indivisible Vashon, is on Wednesday, January 14th, starts at 7 o'clock at the Methodist Church at 17928 Vashon Highway. Hope you'll join us and hear what else we have in mind regarding what this administration's overseas adventures are holding in store for us and how we can react and respond.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Amy, how about your week?
Let's see, what day is it? It's Tuesday. We just got back from Denver on Saturday night, so I am happy to be back in the wet climate because it was sunny and 70 there most of the time.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah,
it was.
Well, talk about dry. Talk about dry. I'm glad to get my little seal self back here, amphibious self back here. What have I done? No, we're basically, I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things from the new year. We had a great time. We went to a New Year's party and nobody parties as well as Vashon does, that's for sure. So we went to a party and it was this Great Gatsby themed party at this place. It's like a bowling alley / bar / venues, like, you know, it's one of those weird places where people do a lot of weird things. So it was weird. I'm just gonna say that. But we did make it till midnight, and we did, I guess, the real midnight. We made it to real midnight Wednesday, Denver time, and we did stay up and saw Ciara at the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve do her performance, and I was like, whatever she is, she's not sober. And then, I guess my very favorite New Year's tradition, I know the New Year is not off to the right foot if I don't watch the Rose Parade, which of course was rained out this year. Well, not rained out, but rained upon, which is some sort of omen, right? Because, yeah, I think the last time was 21 years ago. That it was rained upon, but it was still fabulous, as sad as it was to see some of the, you know, especially the seeds, right? Because it's all organic materials on the magnificent floats. Some of the seeds just kind of had just run off. So it was, I don't know, is it a harbinger of the year to come or was it just sort of moving away? But I do have to say that the America 250 float with the Eagles was spectacular. I mean, you know, every year there's one float that just is sort of the stunner visually. And I have to say that's one of the best floats I've seen in many, many years. So jump on ye old internet and check that out.
Cool. Yeah. Truman.
I only have one word to say for this past week, and that is football.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I'm telling you, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Seahawks, and I even caught the last plays of the, now I'm going blank.
The Ravens and the Steelers.
Yes, the Ravens and the Steelers. Oh, that was
one
it.
For the ages.
Oh my gosh, was that amazing? And I asked to go ahead of Bruce because I knew he was going to get on to football. So, but I will say I've done one of the kind of very interesting thing again about Bruce. Bruce and his friend John. Should I tell him about this, Bruce? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. They are recording a weekly series called Vashon 250. And speaking of the 250th anniversary, I'm telling you what, folks, you want to learn something, tune in. And we don't have a solid date yet, but I think it's going to be Tuesdays at 5. That's the latest that I've heard. But I'm telling you, it's a half hour show, and these guys, man, they're knocking it out of the park. I'm very thrilled to be engineering for them, and it is really great. So.
You know, there have been various revolutions, of course, in the country, and we should probably say this is January 6th, an attempted revolution, which was suppressed But yes, we're looking forward to a year of how we can do better in that scene. And oh, by the way, I should mention that on the 14th at the Methodist Church, there will be a play. We'll have Abigail and John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and John Payne, and they will be recasting full costumes some of the discussions that they had during that period. So if y'all want to show up for that and check it out, yeah, that's also going to be ongoing in parallel with this work that that John and others are doing. So yeah,
excellent.
of focus on that.
Cool.
Bruce, how about you? You want to say a little more about the Seahawks?
I saved that for you.
It was a fascinating game. I mean, talk about a dominant defense. Mm. I mean, San Francisco 49ers have been scoring almost 30 points a game, and Seattle held them to 3.
Yeah.
And that was the difference. You know, despite 2 missed field goals by Myers, it still Seattle came out ahead. And it was an interesting game to see how just Seattle dominated one of the best teams in the NFL. So it was fascinating. But then the college games were great, too.
They were amazing.
Yeah, I want your take on who do you think is going to be playing for the college championship?
Oh, Indiana.
I think Indiana. The Indiana this weekend. I think Friday, Indiana, Oregon is going to be the best game.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm kind of thinking Indiana's going to just powerhouse it.
Oh, I do too. They're just so
unless their quarterback gets deported with a last name of Mendoza, I'm surprised he's still here.
You never know, but Indiana's just dominant and a 2-year turnaround is just incredible. Yeah. I mean, they were at the bottom
like
of the heap.
Two from the bottom?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, in 2 years, that guy turned that team totally around.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so
he's the real life Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Except he does not have that Ted Lasso vibe.
No, he's a little hardcore.
Nobody has
That's true.
Yeah, and my question remains, Bruce, how many field goals does it take to get to the Super Bowl?
Really? Well, as many as it takes.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, and I really felt bad for that poor
the guy
Ravens
from,
cooker.
Ravens
kicker. What a shame.
And he's a rookie this year.
He is. A young kid.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
but of course it was also New Year's Eve this past week, and it was amazingly quiet on Vashon.
It was.
You know, I live at KVI Beach, and usually KVI Beach is kind of a battlefield, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend lives on Quartermaster Harbor. He said it was just he was up at midnight, which is not always the fact. And he said he went out on the porch and was waiting to see all the fireworks. Nothing. Hmm. So maybe King County regulations are actually having an impact. I don't know.
I did hear somebody cut loose. It sounded like with a .45, however, just right down the road from my house.
Right.
So I was kind of staying inside for sure.
But other than that, pretty quiet. Yesterday, I had one of those magical Vashon experiences. Took Pam over to Tacoma for a doctor's appointment. You know, it was a late afternoon appointment. Drove back to the ferry, drove up to the ferry booth, paid for the, you know, gave him the ticket. He said, lane one on the ferry, drove down the hill. This is Tahlequah, drove down the hill onto the ferry. Gate came down, the ferry took off.
Whoa, nice.
How many times in your life does that happen?
No.
Right?
No.
Not enough.
I just have to throw out real quick. I forgot. Dang.
Oh.
I'll come back to it.
It must have been important.
It was.
Our new general manager, the voice of Vashon, Amanda Kelly, what were you up to this past week?
Oh, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Out on these streets, you know, Chef Dre Neal at Gravy next door, every time I see him, I'm in the alley. He's like, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm running here, there, and everywhere. Been cleaning up the house, making I'm going to say this out loud. For me, the change of the year is solstice. The holidays are a magical time with family and friends. This Roman calendar thing is a fresh start. It feels like a fresh chapter. I know all the many bits, but like, I like to get my house clean, get the Christmas tree out. I love it when my kids roll in. I love it when they roll out. I've been seeing friends. I've been laying low. And I've mostly been keeping my house wood with my house warm with wood, which takes up, if you get back to what it actually means to be human, 90% of my waking hours, just staying warm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's real work. Salute to everybody out there keeping their homes warm and dry.
Yeah, and you're right. And when you get that fire going, it does dry out your house nicely. At least my house, you know, it goes from the, when I use the heat pump, it's, but you build a fire and it dries it out.
Yeah.
You feel warm under those circumstances. I had a uneventful week as per usual.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not breaking at all.
I was at the Bowie Rex on New Year's Eve. You were there as well.
I believe I was for a moment or two. And
you
then
were
I
there
had
early
other places.
On.
Yeah, I got to scurry along. Bowie Rex.
Yeah, yeah. Bowie Rex and his Boogie Army on New Year's
Eve. Yeah, and cheap scenery.
Yep, and cheap scenery, exactly. It was quite the show. I had a good time there. On New Year's Day in the morning, I had my morning scramble with MJ Witt of CERT, amongst other things. And we were playing Great Gatsby song. We were playing the Roaring Twenties songs.
Yeah, what is, are we? I feel like there's a gestalt
it's
around this
years
Gatsby
since
thing.
Since the Roaring Twenties to the current Twenties.
Yeah. I mean, we're roaring. I guess we're roaring along.
That's right.
You know, that reminds me, my mother's mother was a flapper in the 20s. Mm. And as a kid, we would go to their home on Beacon Hill. And down in the basement was the drum set, the piano, the saxophone, the clarinets, right? All of the stuff that was apparently was part of the band in which she was a flapper. And they would often go to Mount Rainier National Park, where her ashes are currently spread.
Yeah. Oh, how cool.
I was looking for the intersection with Flapper.
Yeah.
Wait, I do have a question for Bruce. Can you parse for us the difference between the zeitgeist and the gestalt?
You know, zeitgeist is spirit of the times. Mm-hmm. If you look, a gestalt is a broader sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a gestalt sort of captures more than a particular period of time. That's the way I would parse it out. Mm-hmm. You know,
so I meant zeitgeist.
Oh, zeitgeist.
There,
yeah,
with the Gatsby.
Yeah, zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Spirit of the time.
Yeah. Let it not be said that the Brown Briefleys are not accurate.
Yes, I know.
That's right.
We do our best. I'm much older than you are, Kevin. My mother was a flapper. Back
awesome.
In used to go to the ballrooms in Milwaukee and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And this guy can jitterbug. He can. I've seen him do it.
I believe he probably has also the outfit for that.
I don't know about the spats.
Just asking.
I don't know if he's got spats or not.
Well, we had the show on New Year's Day, and then we were playing all the music from the 20s. And then right after that, I went to a pajama party, a traditional New Year's Day pajama party, which was a lot of fun. And then just this last Sunday, I went into Jazz Alley and saw Nearly Dan again. And I swear they get better every time I see those guys. They were so good. And the food.
Oh,
I was like getting food at Dimitri's Jazz Alley. So, Dimitri, if you want to become a sponsor or a underwriter of the Voice of Vashon, there's the plug we just gave you.
Indeed. I'll be there on the 23rd, actually, seeing Judy Collins. So,
all right. Wow. Well, you can tell us about it the weekend.
I shall.
Yeah. All right. Real quick check on what happened in history on this day. In 1880, we had record snow of nearly 4 feet in Seattle.
Wow.
Big, giant snowstorm in Seattle. In 1893, the Great Northern Railroad finally connected Seattle with the East Coast. And I have to digress for just a second. I lived on a little lake on the north side of Mount Spokane for a summer. And I lived right on the railroad. And the railroad was still running on those tracks past this chain lake. And while I was living there that summer, they took the tracks out.
Wow.
However, I think I may be the last person to have ever seen a train go on the Great Northern Railroad after the tracks came out.
What?
I had this supernatural experience where I'm in my cabin just about 100 yards, if that, from the tracks or the former tracks. And I hear the train come by, the ghost train. It was so cool. It was cool. So it probably was a dream.
I feel like singing a certain song we might all know.
That's right. That's exactly right. That was quite an event. In 1968, the Beatles' album Magic Mystery Tour becomes number one and stays there for 8 weeks. quite an accomplishment. And in 2021, we all know, we've already made reference to it, supporters of Donald Trump stormed the Capitol in Washington, D.C., in what some have referred to as just a little tour through the Capitol, which is makes me really angry.
One of my Montana buddies, say that's all it was.
Yeah, well, true. Okay. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole exactly this today. January 6th is also National Cuddle Up Day. Good day to cuddle up. Technology Day, Shortbread Day.
Shortbread for the win.
That's right. Shortbread for the win, exactly. Well, yeah, rather than beans for the win.
You can have both if you're lucky. It's
Bean Day as well.
Hey, and I just got for Christmas, I got from a cousin, Biscuits with the Boss.
There you go.
And they are, you know, from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Shortbread. Oh, they were shortbread. So there you go. Yep.
And this is also the Epiphany, the day on which the three kings came to Bethlehem. They always say that had they been three women, they might have brought more sensible gifts,
right?
You know, like a casserole and changed the diaper and things like that. But the kings brought what? Frankincense, myrrh, and
incense.
Right, exactly.
Perfect.
Thanks. Something we all need.
Thanks for the Nag Champa.
Yes.
Everything's a myth. Yeah. It's all based in mythology. You know what else it is today?
No.
It's I'm practicing learning Irish Gaelic. So, Inich Nalach Lamin. It's Women's Christmas in the Celtic Isles, where the women finally had the tree out of the house, the kids were out of the house, and they were allowed to sit down and put their feet up and do no work and talk crack and drink with their friends all day long.
Perfect.
As one does.
It really should be more than one day, shouldn't it?
Well, you'd be surprised how often we figure it out. Nonetheless.
Yeah. Can you say that three times fast?
No, but I'm learning.
Well, that brings us to our guest today, Amanda Kelly, who is, I think officially, as of today, the new general manager. You probably have done some work up until this point, learning some of the ropes, talking to our former.
I have indeed.
Our interim general manager, Susan McCabe. But today is your first official day, and we welcome you here on the Brieflys, and we're honored to have you here as this being your first show with the voice of Vashon since you became the general manager. I know you've been
in it. It didn't take me very long, did it?
No, it didn't.
Two hours in? I'm excited. Yeah. I'm sort of delighted to be here. It feels like a perfect way to say hi to the community in this new role.
Well, that's what we want to do. We want to introduce you to people who don't know you, although I'm not sure there are many left on the island who don't know you. To have you tell us a little bit about your background and experience, what we typically ask our guests to tell us their origin story.
Well, I know when I read origin story, I said, well, it began long ago in the embryonic ooze. And then I was thinking about it as pertains to this conversation. Atlantic coastline, born in England my whole life, wound up in the Pacific Northwest in 1993. My now ex-husband and beloved baby daddy of all my kids, I had fallen in love and driven from Marblehead, Massachusetts, across the plains, and wound up in the Pacific Northwest because Kurt Cobain had shot himself, and he was a Newsweek journalist. They needed somebody. He was a founder of Seattle Weekly back in the day, and was in Seattle for a bunch of years. My first home out here was the tiny dairy barn on the Twin Peaks property, if you can believe it or not. Mm. I know, before. Mm. So that was cool. And then, I have historically my first job out of college, where I was on there for a full ride poetry scholarship. I don't know if they exist anymore, back in Salem State, now a university, Salem, Massachusetts. My first job was working at a series of independent bookstores. Two of which belonged to Phillips Academy. I grew up in Andover, Massachusetts part of the time, and fell in love with, more than ever, the idea of free thought, reading, how do I communicate that into actual work, wind up in the PNW, tried to work at Seattle Weekly but didn't get hired, but met, Claire Dieter, that whole community of writers back in the day, worked at Elliott Bay, was my first official job in the Northwest. Then I worked in Gogarty, Stark & Marriott, a PR firm, in the city.
When
at
did
the
you
time.
Work at the Elliott Bay bookstore?
I got here. It would have been, so it was pre-triplets. So it must have been 93, 94.
Okay.
Yeah. And then got a bigger job, got knocked up with triplets, got married, and here I am.
Wow, that was concise. That was.
Well,
that was,
you know, I love language and I love conversation. And so my professional life has been since then talking to people and finding out what matters to places and trying to support that any way I can.
Great.
So how did you find Vashon?
How did I find Vashon? Because I had to, so I have 5 kids all together and they were homeschool, Wilder School, Lakeside, Garfield. They all went through St. Joe's for a time period. So my oldest 3, who just turned 30 this year, went off to college. I couldn't afford to stay in Seattle anymore. I was priced out of my rental in Madrona. I had long since lost homeownership. And part of my parenting agreement with my ex-husband, who I love dearly, was not to leave King County. But I like to find a hitch and a giddy up. I'm like, well, you know what, Vashon felt like home to me. The times we would come out here as a family and, you know, stay in somebody's borrowed thing, or we slept at the hostel a few times. And I wanted a smaller community, so met with the landlords I have now that are beautiful people on the island. And here we are. My youngest 2 kids started school in high school in Seattle and wound up graduating both from Vashon High.
And what year was that you moved here? I missed that.
Pardon me?
What year?
I moved here in 2015, on Valentine's Day 2015.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
Full time.
You were going to follow up on that a little bit, Truman, weren't
well,
you?
Yeah. And, you know, you've been here since 2015, so that's, you know, that's not as long as most of us here in this group. I mean, like Amy was born here, you know, so.
Close.
Yeah. She's been here almost her whole life.
Yeah.
I've been here
for 21 years.
Yeah.
That was close. Yeah, 2015 right. Is close to the birthday, right? That's what I heard. Okay, yeah. Just checking. Okay.
And I've been here 35. Bruce, you've been here, what, 50? Or
52.
Yeah, 52. Yeah. So anyway, I guess it's okay to ask this question about what's your impression of the island? And now with this new focus, how does that fit?
Here's what I'm in love with this island and its people. I think we are a self-selecting group that wound up here. And I've met, and I'm talking about even if they wound up here 3 generations ago. And I've made friends, like deep friends, with some of those people as well. I think it's a beautiful place. It can be, it's a pretty privileged place. It's a pretty privileged place. And I think all the time about, given every decision I made in my life, I somehow am here. What in the magic is that? So how can I help somebody who's still not in a place that has a community that's going to support them when the grid goes down, knows how to grow their own food, is in jail for smoking pot? Like, are you freaking kidding me? I think that word is safe to say. I checked the list.
It is, yes.
So I don't know. I feel blessed to be here. I miss the Atlantic deeply, but my mom and brother are here now and they're, yeah.
You know, I really like that term, self-selecting. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That is really wonderful. And that's what all of us are here on the island.
Totally. And if you're born here, of course, like, lucky you, you know, that it's a gift. I think most people acknowledge what a blessing it is.
Yeah. You know, my daughter was born while we were on the island. We moved back to the city for a few years, and then she came back and graduated with Amy from high school here. But she was She could call herself a true islander because she was born here.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's a common theme. I mean, it's amazing how many people, you know how it is where you're born. A lot of times you go, well, you got to get out of here. Yeah. You know, wherever it is. You're born in San Francisco, I got to get out of here. You're born in Podunk, you know, Idaho, I got to get out of here. On Vashon, you get born here, oftentimes you come back.
Yeah,
I think it's good to get off and stretch too. I don't
right.
think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for a lot of young people on the island, they can't wait to get away. But then they get away and they realize what was here. And that's why you see so many come back, particularly as they hit their late 20s, early 30s, as they start to build families.
And their babies start coming. They get
exactly,
home.
Man. You know, Vashon's a very magical place in that sense.
It is.
Yeah. Bruce, you got a question.
Voice of Vashon.
Yeah.
What drew you to Voice of Vashon? What do you see its role in the community, and what do you see, how do you see yourself sort of shaping that over the next few years?
Just even hearing this question literally almost brings me to tears, because I'm telling you, it feels like such a perfect match of what I bring to the table professionally and with my understanding of how the island works, but also just, like, I've had so much respect for Voice of Vashon as a community resource over the years. Like, when the grid goes down, now all of a sudden people... There's actually him. People with operating ham radios, and I was a college radio station person, and I've been working with mass media, Cube Vomit, for a long time. So I feel like it's my personal arsenal of weaponry against fighting oppression, having good conversations, supporting each other, and listening to music, like literally my four sweet spots. And I think as people realize, you were talking about how people are different about fireworks now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nobody's a dum-dum. We're a planet that's on fire. People respect whales because we've learned so much. We're constantly evolving. And I think that local media is so ready for that because people just don't want to watch the nonsense anymore. Like, I can't listen to a certain person's voice at all. Like, I'm aware of what's going on in the country, but I have no more energy for any man's voice that's going to be in my periphery at all, unless it's like fully hilarious and some Instagram reel. Like, I don't have time for it. I'm going to fight back though as hard as I can. I'm no dum-dum. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about Voice of Vashon. Pretty impassioned about what this can be in the community.
Cool.
Let me follow up with that a little bit. I mean, you know, in terms of the sort of media landscape that we have today, I mean, if you've got sort of broadcast media, you've got print media, and you've got sort of electronic, you know, digital, you know, internet kind of media. How do you see Voice of Vashon fitting in with that? You know, the print media on Vashon is basically the Beachcomber.
Yep.
You know, and the Seattle and Tacoma newspapers, and, you know, the internet. National and international papers, and then the sort of what I would call the sort of media, electronic media landscape of the internet. I mean, how is Voice of Vashon going to navigate that in your mind?
With me at the helm and a bunch of trusted rowers, for real. Like, I don't know. I can't. That's such a big question, but I really do feel that way. I feel like it's like I'm on a ship, like not. Okay, you can call me captain if you have to. Not in a mean way, but like leading people into a deeper understanding of what we have here. The possibilities are literally endless. Like, there's a eagle cam in every third tree. And print media, yeah, we have the Beachcomber, but why can't we have a zine-making workshop while a famous musician plays in the background and everybody's welcome? I don't know. Let's see what we got. I think it's a pretty special confluence of... what I know how to do well professionally and things that are emerging. Like, you can't fight with AI. So how are we going to work with that? We all know we have different ways. We can also talk to local resident, super genius AI, UK ethical AI, Diane Krause, bandmate of mine. You know what I mean? We've got incredible resources here for sharing the word and supporting community and the actual health of the community. Like, be prepared. Where's their fire? Where's their mask? I don't know where there's any electricity. The things that you provide are great.
Yep, I agree.
Captain, right. My captain, I'm not sure we're going to be able to keep up with the money.
I know, I am a fast talker. I'm from Boston.
No.
I apologize for it.
Can we plug into you when the power goes out?
People exactly. Say, "How do you get? Why are you always so energized?" I'm like, because I take a lot of naps. I meditate every day. I run. Go. Do all the good things. I might be out late on these streets, but I'm usually energetic and bright mood.
Right.
Amanda, thank you for sharing your passion, your interests, your energy, your skill set, and the strong thread of mutual aid that runs through so much of what you said today in terms of protecting our community and coming together to not only address issues, but solve problems and move forward. So I'm just really inspired by your worldview that you've just expressed here today. So as you, of course, you went through this process of applying for this job as executive director. You were told you had a job description. Tell us about that job description. And sort of how did that play out?
So here's a critical piece of that job description. You just said it was executive director, and I didn't want to do it by myself because I know what it is to be an ED, and I have mad respect for that. It is more work than I would have been able to take on because this is, for me, halftime as general manager is different. So the board is going to be handling the majority of the fundraising. Of course, I'm 100% behind that. We'll drive it however we can, but I'm not responsible for it because I also have Sword for an agency, which is my heart's passion work in the world, and a lot of clients I've been working with for a long time and new ones coming on all the time. And I feel passionate about that work, which is more national and global at times. And this is a perfect fusion of me keeping that up and this, and it, so much of it is overlap. It's magic. If you believe in magic.
Yeah, you know, the board changed the job description and changed the name to general manager for that reason, because we felt that it's a part-time, part-time, full-time.
Part-time-ish, I feel.
Yeah, part-time, full-time. Well, you know, it's the amount that you want to put into it, really.
Yeah.
And the amount of energy you've got, phew, look out, folks.
Here's what, I'm a 57-year-old woman. You can't take advantage of me.
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, that's right.
Not in how I balance my life or any of that. Like I'm, yeah. But I'm here to support. And if it takes 60 hours a week to make something great happen, yeah. All in.
Cool.
So, you know, Voice of Vashon has a great history and is kind of interwoven into the nonprofit community on the island. How do you see Voice of Vashon, you know, kind of moving and working with and situated in the nonprofit community on Vashon?
The nonprofit community on Vashon is so thriving that it's impressive. From what you do at Vashon Household to St. Vincent, like so much of it. I'm on the board of Vashon Events. I mean, there's so many partners doing so many things. I'm not sure I can even begin to answer that on behalf of Voice of Vashon right now. I don't know enough about the role. And I think my biggest goal would be to be both a bridge for information. So maybe somebody that doesn't any longer have an AM radio still knows that something is happening. You know, there's so many ways people get. So how do I become a conduit of information out in a way that makes sense? And how can Voice of Vashon partner with new entities in different ways? Like, for example, we're going to be doing the Vashon Highland Games next year again. Why can't we live stream it? We have literal international athletes on our highway. Like, who doesn't want to watch that? I'll tell you what, pay-per-view, baby.
You know, with the changes that we're making in technology, mm-hmm. at the Voice of Vashon, and by the way, it is significant, folks. We're doing a whole lot more video.
Yeah.
The audio is going to be amazing. The our internet connection is going to be fantastic. And boy, what a great time for you to be coming on board.
I'm really excited about it.
When all this stuff is happening. But I think all I have to say is just stay tuned, because it's going to be pretty exciting coming forward.
You know, I want to get into a few broader issues. Most of these were brought up by our briefly Kevin. And one of them, and I'll just introduce it, Kevin, and I'll let you take, you know, follow up on it with the questions. But lately, we had this event with the Beachcomber, where we had a big full-page insert that was a commercial for if you want to be hired by ICE. Hmm. I think it appeared 2 weeks in a row. And then we had the Friends of the Backbone campaign do a parody of it. Where they bought an almost full-page ad entitled "Join Lice," you know, and went on in that vein, and we're going to have Aspen Anderson, the editor of the Beachcomber, here in what, 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, she'll be on the 20th show.
Yeah. We'll definitely be asking her about some of those issues. She did address it to a certain degree in a editor's opinion piece here, mm-hmm. but there are issues of independence that we are concerned about with regards to our media.
Of course,
the newspaper is owned by a larger corporate group.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with who owns the Voice of Vashon?
I am. I know exactly who owns everything. I've worked in media for a long time out here. Here's what I say. To even be having this conversation, talking about a print media, is astonishingly lucky. Like, argue away about whatever flag you put on your car. I live on Bank Road, not even worried. I think as individuals, we do what we can, where we are, with what we have. Try not to get nasty about it and listen to people. This is not the way we're going to solve anything. I'm kind of over fighting and more like my neighbors that live behind me who are Latina and worried about their children. Now their kids have a key to my house, because if anything weird happens and mom and dad can't get there after school, now they can come in and their parents know they'll be like, whatever. I think that's how we show up for each other, and that the conversation is always going to be ongoing. My mother was in a POW camp in the Second World War. She's Dutch. It was a Japanese POW camp. I mean, I think every generation has its own stuff. This feels particularly awful, but is it?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the case of the Beachcomber, as Craig pointed out, they have this corporate ownership structure.
Yeah.
And while that's another instance where my phone blew up recently,
yeah.
when that insert to the Beachcomber for Stars and Stripes, which had the ad to join ICE.
Yeah.
Nothing that the Beachcomber staff was made aware of in advance. They had no knowledge of. It's like, who knows what goes inside the paper that the publisher sends out? We don't until it hits our doorstep.
Right.
But they're in a situation where, you know, the publisher somewhere up the chain made the decision about what was appropriate or inappropriate for that publication. Mm-hmm. Many on Vashon felt it was quite inappropriate. That's the Beachcomber situation. Voice of Vashon has a different ownership structure.
Right.
But we also have people who support the show, the radio station, right?
Of course.
People who donate. So is Voice of Vashon have ultimate freedom in terms of what goes over the air, other than maybe the six words that you can't say? How does that play out? What's your perspective on that?
I mean, it's case by case, but I think here's what I'm going to say. This is going to sound crazy, but I know people that work for ICE that are brothers of Boston firemen that were too heavy to get a job, and they wanted to, you know what, they're not, it's not evil. It's not bad to say the word. It's not bad to run a job ad. You can respond to it however you want. Do I support any of this nonsense? Of course, absolutely not. I also think we're fighting a major superpower, but it's like 71 companies. And if we really get organized, and the only way we're going to be able to get organized when the levee breaks is in rooms together with votes and some kind of communication system. When I get super stressed out by what is happening in government or media or anything else, you just bring it back to the day. Like, what can I do today? And stay hydrated.
So one of the things that Vashon, or the Voice of Vashon, promotes itself at is the community connector.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that we are that. I just got a text from our former, at this point, ED, she was interim, Susan, and she just said, no one owns Voice of Vashon except a community.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely true. And one of the things that I always say, I mean, you know, I've got
very
my friends
point,
back
Susan.
In Montana who are super right wing, super Trumpers. And I talk to those guys all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. I don't know if I'll ever convince them to change their attitude, but I'll try, and they'll try and change mine, you know?
I know, and listen, I know I sound like a hippie and I live on Vashon, but honestly, I do believe, like, if you meditate, if you have some kind of practice of quieting the mind and taking a deep breath and going into some kind of different sphere, whatever, where you can get out of your thinking mind and all this feeling and just for 10 minutes a day, it changes a lot.
So what do you see as the role of Voice of Vashon? And, you know, it's a broad claim, you know, Voice of Vashon, right? Because there are so many Vashons. So what do you see as sort of the role of Voice of Vashon and maybe expanding the voices that we are hearing on the island, right? Beyond sort of what we might
think. So I've been having this conversation at Sporty's late at night. You know, I found out I got this job 12/23. So the night before Christmas Eve, I wasn't staying home waiting for my kids. We were out, and I was having deep night conversations over cigarettes with people, you know, who have real complaints about some of the things on the Voice of Vashon. Bring it. I said, bring it. Let's have a conversation, a polite one. Have the same conversation here. All the voices should be heard as much as possible, including the birds in the sky. Hello. I think real conversations where you got to trust the parties in the room, right? You don't want the... But if there are people that are local that you know, invite them to the table.
I just got an idea. Can we broadcast from Sporty's at 11:30 p.m.?
I think we should do it. I think, Sarah Howard and I have a whole
please?
Weekly show planned. You don't
can
even know.
Can we do it?
We're doing Wayne Garth style in Sporty's. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Can I help facilitate that?
We only have one issue with that, and that is the seven words that you can't say.
we're going to need a bleeper.
We don't have a cop.
I believe in us. I made it through almost a whole hour. I don't think I broke that list yet.
We need to have a
There's still time.
There is still time.
We can cough them out, you know.
Oh, shite. There's still time.
Just to be clear, and Susan McCabe just sort of made this point, we are owned by no one except the community. And our producers and our volunteers and our general manager are all Vashonites. And this is truly your radio station to the listeners I'm talking to right now. It's unique. There are radio stations around the United States that are very jealous of us, and the way they talk about how, this is the way I remember it when I was younger, and now we're all owned by corporations and whatnot, and we're thrilled that you're out there. And now with our streaming live on the website and streaming live on our app, our free app that you can all get, you can listen to us live anywhere in the world. When I was teaching on the island of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean, I would listen to the radio station live all the time. It's just a miracle, you know. So,
do you remember when we used to have to wait for a song? This is how I feel about radio. When I first fell in love and I had a clock radio next to my bed and a cassette recorder, I would wait. I was like a hungry animal waiting for that countdown so I could get exactly what I wanted or be tuned in. And I love that experience of radio. You're hearing it and it's just...
12 years old, smoke gets in your eyes. I would sit with that little transistor radio waiting for them to play that.
Yeah. But let's step back a minute and be realistic. I mean, we say Voice of Vashon's owned by the island community. But in reality, who is that island community? And who plays a role in deciding what happens on Voice of Vashon? There's a board. It's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So, and there's a board, you know, so that really, that's what runs Voice of Vashon. I mean, I'm always reminding myself that in the 2024 election, nearly 900 people on Vashon voted for Trump. That's out of about a little over 5,000 votes. You know, that's about 12-13% of the island. I don't hear those voices on Voice of Vashon.
Well, I'm about to sit down and have a conversation with one of them, get them meditating.
Well, exactly. And how do we get those voices as part of Voice of Vashon?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, we do have a board, obviously, and Truman and I are on that board. But we don't censor in any way our producers, and we have an open-door policy for people to come in and present new types of shows. And I don't know if we've ever turned anybody down who was really serious about having show, one show, a weekly show, a monthly show, whatever the case may be. So,
and I also think just because you voted for Trump, like maybe you don't want a show. Like maybe you're not arguing with anybody. You just had feelings about a piece of legislation. Like you don't have to. One thing that is intolerable to me is any one way of thinking in any representation of media, right? Mm-hmm. You should have the full sauce.
So speaking of the diversity of our island from a partisan perspective, I was handing out these little flyers at the four-way stop last weekend. And so it's like, roll your window down. Let me show you what we're talking about. And one fellow rolled his window down, and he said, I don't want to take the flyer. I totally respect what you're doing, but I love what the president's doing. Every single thing, I love what he's doing. And so live and let live, you know, fair
enough. Do the best of your ability, and then, you know, vote the way you want, always.
Yeah. So I think the mantra is, like, there's, like, of all the things that we care about, the majority of them are things that we see the same way, right, in terms of safety, security, food security, financial ability to raise our kids, ability to do whatever, all those things, right? And then there's certain things that are... wedges, division, right? And there's people very skilled at bringing those forward to help divide us. So, you know, how do we transcend that?
I think we all know what any corporate thing is doing is not healthy. Everybody knows that. So this is a way to do that same kind of, have those same kind of conversations, invite everybody to the table and do it differently. Because, literally, if you watch a news show, it's fear, fear, fear commercial, fear, fear, feel good commercial. Like, and then they close out with something gentle, like, look at this great kid, football kid. No, there's a rhythm and a dance to it designed energetically and physically to stimulate responses in people. I tell my brother every time my mom's trying to get to bed and can't sleep, I'm like, turn the TV off. So we'll be back in conversation about all that.
You forgot the never-ending Ozempic commercials.
Right.
So, you know, as you look at the mix of programming on Voice of Vashon, what is the role of, you know, the general manager and the board in looking at that programming mix? And is there, you know, is there sort of thought?
Here's what I'm trying to do.
You know, for a specific sort of strategy to, like, hey, let's look at our programming mix.
Yeah. So I am rolling in hot this week, and I'm going to be meeting with the various teams, meeting my first marketing meeting team. And I'm also going to be thinking about ways to create some kind of, I mean, I've been having these informal conversations with people about making a show, but I really want to do like some focus group stuff up in here. I mean, I'll hunt people down and just like, let's talk about Voice of Vashon. Bring it. What do you not like? I'll sit down and have that conversation with any person walking by. And people are at capacity. It's hard to make money. There's not enough insurance. The food bank's over. Like, I think a lot of it is that too. People can't commit to doing anything because they're so stressed about a lot of things. So I'd love to welcome. I mean, I'm really seek, you know, in a professional way, some focus groups that are people that aren't necessarily involved already, and also having conversations with folks and being like, you say you're going to be there on Wednesday at 1, I'm going to be there and see if we can actually make it happen.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate the fact that one of the things we were going to do here about 2 weeks ago, but something came up and it wasn't possible, is we were going to have a man on the street on First Friday. Or a woman on the street.
I was once in a time an art reporter for a show. I was the art reporter on the street with my.
There you go.
When I first moved out.
Well, we were going to ask them those kind of questions about, you know, do you know anything about the Voice of Vashon? Do you have an opinion about the Voice of Vashon? Do you have a rant or rave about the Voice of Vashon? Totally ad hoc, but it would be kind of fun. I mean, certainly, it's been done before. Let me change the subject just slightly. Threats to the Voice of Vashon. I mean. Obviously, the Voice of Vashon's license was granted by
FCC.
Yeah, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, the same commission that placed pressure on late night Saturday, you know, shows and
what was that obstacle with the comedian that happened?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and has, you know, sort of forced major settlements, money settlements out of CBS and those sort of things. And although it doesn't seem likely to me, but if you had a really, difficult authoritarian agency, some might say we do, but if we really had one, they would say, oh, we don't like what you're doing on your radio station.
You know what? They can't take Wi-Fi away. We got an Instagram. We got a Facebook. We got. You just keep going. There's a million ways to communicate. That's what I think. And I will, like, obviously, my favorite new band name is Technically Legal. You know, you want to stay on the right side of the things, but also...
Well, you're right. There are certain times when you want to engage in good trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the desire to let's keep communicating, right?
Yeah.
And Truman, you already mentioned, and Craig, you too, about being able to listen to this radio station anywhere. Captain Joe just came in, right? He's got people around the world who listen to him. Are there anything other than just word of mouth about communicating? About you can tune into this show, you can tune into this radio station. Any strategies to help expand the voice and the number of people who hear us, not only on the island but across the country, across the world.
Do I have that?
Are there any thoughts
you have
about that?
Any,
oh, I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Go for it.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what. I see video from Palestine almost every day. Not that this is in any way close to that. The World Wide Web thing is real. I was texting with, friends, WhatsApp for international, texting with friends about being on the show right now. And there's so many overlapping threads. And Facebook, Meta, Instagram, all of them, but also that's how people get out. And Facebook works very differently on Vashon than any other place I've experienced it. So there's nuance to all of this stuff. I don't know if I can answer that question more fully than that right now, but I think we're just an interconnected web on and offline, and there's a million ways to get voices out.
Yeah, I've talked to a number of people in the kind of the communities that I engage with on the island. Part of that is the Vashon Maury Community Council, about how do we reach people on this island who don't have the privilege to show up on Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Land Trust, right, to participate in our local democracy. So I talk to people about Voice of Vashon, in that kind of capacity. And people are usually sort of shocked and impressed with the reach that the radio station does have, mm-hmm. right, with, live streaming podcasts, TV, et cetera. So it is definitely an area of interest, I think, in terms of, how broadly can our voice spread and how do we make that happen?
I have to jump in. You did rattle off the major ways that we get out there in the community, Kevin, and I appreciate that. The But there are technological issues for some people of a later generation. And it came up during our Voice of Vashon voice competition. And Sarah Howard, who was emceeing that, was constantly telling people about the Q code up on the
QR code.
The QR code, exactly, and saying, "Don't take a photograph of."
Sarah. Yeah.
And she's right.
She's not wrong. Yeah. She's never wrong.
She's absolutely right.
Well, I have. Speaking of what I did this week, I forgot to mention this part, and this reminds me, my daughter's well went dry. And so had to get a company out of Bremerton, since there's not, we don't have a local person anymore. And her neighbor and good friend of mine showed up and actually got it all working. And very economically, I'm very pleased. I want to put a plug in for this driller because he did a great job. But what tickled me is this gentleman is my age, almost exactly, and his wife, I said, does he have a cell phone? And she says, well, we have a flip phone between us, but we never turn it on. So this kind of illustrates. And he listens to this show. So, Ron, it's okay, buddy. It's all right that you have a flip phone. It works. So, yeah. But there you are. There's that.
I mean, there's a huge technology divide, but also flyers and cash work well, too.
Yeah.
For getting info out.
Yeah, people are used to getting their information off telephone poles around here.
Yeah. I love about it so much.
Well, Amanda, are there any closing thoughts that you want to leave us with?
I just want to say again how grateful I am to be in this new role, how excited I am to move Voice of Vashon and all its ways and means forward, and I'm going to be linking arms with everybody and seeing what we can create together for the next iteration, sitting in this beautiful studio on this sacred piece of land in the pouring rain. Aren't we lucky?
Well, we are just all thrilled that you're our new general manager. And we're not going to miss Susan McCabe because she's not going away.
No, thank God.
She will be helping out and acting in various roles, bringing her experience. And Kate Dowling is listening in
Kate
to the show today.
Hi, Kate.
Yeah, hi, Kate. We miss you, Kate.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I love the energy that you're bringing, we all look forward to working with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for being here.
So, Amy, I think that we did a little switcheroo on the schedule, and you are going to be handling a so-called Truman Show next week.
Yeah, is there anything out there we should be talking about these
Nothing
days?
Nothing going on.
Anything going on?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No? All right. Yeah, we'll have some fun, though, too. We will. We'll do some serious talk, but we'll have some fun talk coming up. I'm excited. 1448 is coming up.
Oh, yeah. And you're participating, aren't
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. It is one of my favorite island art events, so maybe
explain to people exactly, well, not exactly, but quickly what that is.
Yeah, 14 plays in 48 hours, 7 playwrights write 2 plays a week in a weekend, right? 1 play on Friday, 1 different play on Saturday, and you're given the theme at 8 o'clock that night, go home, turn it in, actors learn their lines, directors direct wonderful plays.
It's amazing.
And
amazing.
We put it up for your enjoyment.
You know, what strikes me is the comedic ones are just hilarious. They remind me of the old Saturday Night Live, where the stuff is just off the wall, but brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have fun next week.
Well, good. We've got 2 minutes left. What do you want to talk about in our last 2 minutes, briefly? Venezuela?
Yeah, do we want to do a quick whip? I say the fine tradition of American imperialism in the Southern Hemisphere continues, and we will see what that means.
Yeah.
That's an interesting example we're giving the rest of the world by taking out. And then we get into all arguments.
At this point, we're giving no examples to anyone at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, bad examples.
Yeah. Well, we are giving really bad examples in the whole Monroe Doctrine, spheres of influence. And, you know, this is not we didn't stumble into this, in my opinion, right? This is a concerted effort that's happening when, you know, the oligarchish types all get together and say, what could we accomplish? They have the means. We have to resist and make sure that we have a world that we can live in and live together.
Well, don't discount the distraction.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what this is all. Oil and Epstein. That's what this is all about.
And the whole business of this oil is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The amount of infrastructure that would have to be put in and the amount of investment, there's no way in bloody hell, excuse my French, for them to do that. Just no way.
Yeah, but how much do we put into Iraq?
Yeah, but
right?
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus, the time that it would take.
Plus, it's not our oil.
No, of course it's,
it was nationalized by Venezuela, yeah. And they paid for it.
And plus, also, we need to stop using oil altogether.
And not only that, it's lousy oil.
But it's our oil now because we run Venezuela.
Yeah. I have to say that in my new vehicle, I don't have to worry about oil changes or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But Truman, I will point out another thing. Venezuela is a lot closer to the refineries in South Texas than Saudi Arabia. So,
way closer,
you know,
you're right.
I don't
you're
know.
Right.
We have to keep our eye on this.
Well, that's a topic we might spend a few more minutes on here next week.
Yeah,
we'll see. So on that high point, for Amanda, Kelly, Kevin, Truman, Bruce, and Amy, I'm Craig, and we thank you for listening. We hope you join us again next week for the Brown Briefly Show.
There we are.
Good. Thank you so much.
Well done.
Good
Thank
job.
You
Can
very
I interrupt
much.
Too much? Right. It is so hard.